Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming today. My name is Chris Baldwin. I'm a program manager on the Microsoft Intune device experiences team based out of the Cambridge, Massachusetts office. And the charter of our team is to be the team that is responsible for going very deeply into, for example, platform capabilities. Like, how do we get the best out of what Android as a platform provides? How do we get the best out of iOS and Windows? And also, in doing that, providing a great experience for end users by enabling their productivity securely and well. So that's what we do out of our office. And we work very closely with our counterparts and the Redmond team on the server side to ensure kind of end-to-endness for the product. And so for the next hour, we'll talk about some of the capabilities and unique challenges associated with managing Android in the enterprise and how Intune can help out with some of those things. Anybody who here manages Android devices in the enterprise right now? Okay, most of you. And who does it with Intune? Okay, all right, great. I love Android personally. I use it myself. And I know that there are users in your organization who feel the same way. And I'm really proud to be part of Microsoft, which as a company is dedicated to helping users be productive no matter what kind of device they have. And I'm excited to have the opportunity to work on Android as a platform because there's so many really great advancements coming to that platform in terms of enterprise manageability, giving greater control to IT professionals and greater productivity to end users. And we'll talk about a lot of those things today. You've seen this before, probably if you've been to any of the other EMS or Intune sessions, but it really is worth repeating. EMS helps protect your data in a cloud-first, mobile-first world where traditional network perimeters no longer exist. On the Intune team, we're committed to protecting data at all levels, user, apps, data, and devices, so that you can operate securely. One of the most important things that we do on our team is that we're dedicated to embracing and fully supporting platform capabilities on the device that are there whenever possible. And where the platform may not get you all the way there, we'll augment that with some additional Intune or EMS capabilities to make sure that you have a great experience. And so this session is going to cover these things here. And it's going to be a comprehensive tour, if you will, of the tools that Intune puts in your toolbox for Android management. So first, we'll take a look at kind of the base level of the Android platform support we have today. And we'll talk about Intune's Android management philosophy. Next, Microsoft is really proud to have recently announced our participation and commitment to the Android for Work program coming from Google, which brings a lot of new enterprise controls and security advancements to Android devices. Android for Work is a great example of Intune's work in embracing platforms. And next, we'll discuss some of the capabilities and scenarios enabled by MAM, or Mobile Application Management Without Enrollment. That's the ability to protect and consistently secure data inside of applications, whether or not the device itself is managed or MDM enrolled. And finally, we'll talk about some ways that you can enable your own applications for Intune mobile application management, so you can use them in that same ecosystem to share freely between secure applications, and again, whether the device happens to be enrolled or is not. Can you start my timer, please? I just realized I wasn't counting down. There we go. Thank you very much. All right, that's better. And so we'll start with just a basic Intune Android overview. And so I said before there are a lot of tools in your toolbox for Android management. And since Intune and EMS provide security at each layer, the powerful part is that you can choose from a set of tools and use them together as you wish, depending on your management needs. Identity is kind of the underpinning of all of this, and it really ties together the security aspects of Intune. You've heard the terminology that we use today, that identity is the new control plane, and that's totally a fact. It's critical to make sure that it's secure, and Azure Active Directory provides a large set of controls to keep identities secure and to be able to react appropriately and to shut down those identities when they're compromised. At the application layer, you have the option to enforce policies on how applications manage and access your data. And so in the service side, there's a number of capabilities called conditional access. There was a conditional access session yesterday by my colleague Dilip that talked about some of the controls that are integrated within the cloud services to ensure that only trusted devices, healthy devices, compliant devices can access corporate resources. But then what happens when that data gets down to the device itself? That's where the Intune application management policies come in to protect that data to ensure that it's not copy-pasted into incorrect locations or shared incorrectly. And finally, for scenarios where full device management is desired or required in your organizations, there are many choices there, including options for the new Android for Work framework, options specific to Samsung Knox standard, and then, of course, there's the core set of Android MDM APIs that exist as well. For the past couple years on the Intune team, we've been using the term mobile application management in a number of different contexts. And usually when we talk about it, sometimes we're referring to just the application-based security, those policies that you can put onto applications. But it really is more than that. And so here's a breakdown of how we on the Intune team think about these broad terms. On the left is kind of your classic MDM, mobile device management, and all the things that go with it. You could decide as IT that you want your client devices to be managed in order to do things like controlling app inventory or pushing applications or assisting your users in bootstrapping them and getting them set up with Wi-Fi networks or certificate profiles or things like that. With mobile device management comes certain rights that your users are asked to give up on their devices as well, and sometimes there's a balance around how much they want to allow you to control versus how much help that you want to provide them. On the right-hand side is the whole set of things around mobile application management, which includes the application publishing lifecycle, configuring mobile applications, which is a powerful enterprise feature that's been recently enabled on numerous platforms, and the ability to contain data and remove it at will. And on the right-hand side, our goal is that you can choose to use any of these options here with or without mobile device management. It's kind of your choice. And so here's an interesting article that I read that I found the other day that kind of illustrates the current state of the Android ecosystem with respect to fragmentation. And this graphic is really telling. In this report, it shows that it said that as of 2015, there are almost 1,500 different brands of Android devices and almost 24,000 distinct devices. And one of the great things about Android, and indeed one of the reasons that Android is as popular with users as it is because of the choice that it provides. End users have tremendous amount of control and choice around form factor, price point, colors, styles, flavors, what have you, and that's been really great. At the same time, that causes a lot of difficulty in the enterprise. Because to the end user, the Android device is, hey, it's just an Android. It doesn't matter what kind it is. But in terms of manageability and enterprise controllability, there are tremendously different capabilities across OEMs and across devices. And so what we have in the enterprise now is a situation where one Android device behaves very much like another, unlike another Android device. An HTC Android behaves differently from a Samsung Android, from an LG Android, and so on. And so that's the kind of situation. Does this kind of ring true for anybody? Have you seen these kinds of issues? Yeah, a couple hands. So yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And so kind of what are the causes of some of this fragmentation? So if you look at the Android MDM APIs that are available for agents to manage the device, all this stuff is publicly documented really well by Google. And there's a certain set of things that MDM agents on devices are allowed to do from an administrative capability. And those are really simple things like setting a PIN, enforcing encryption at the device level, doing a full device wipe, or resetting a passcode and things of that nature. And so those are valuable, but everything else that an MDM agent does on a basic Android device, beyond that, so certificates, applications, other kinds of settings, all of those things in the Android API are basically not designed for administrative use. They're in the other portion of it, and those are designed for applications that are very interactive, your average Play Store app that goes into the store. And so what happens is that you get in a situation where when you want to install an application or install a certificate, you see lots of pop-ups, right? Users get pop-ups, and it's not entirely seamless. And so this causes a lot of fragmentation and difficulty in the enterprise. As a result of that, the limitations in the base Android MDM platform, OEMs have taken it upon themselves, like LG and Samsung, to say, we can do better. So they augment the basic Android APIs with their version of Android to add more MDM capabilities on top of it for administrative purposes. And so that's one solution. And then I was talking to somebody at the booth just yesterday about this, and he referred to these solutions as knockoff productivity apps, where the OEM APIs stop. Kind of you have these third-party productivity apps or third-party container apps that kind of sit on top of Android at the application level. And the feedback that we get from that is just the experience is not great. And so this is just kind of painting the picture of kind of how we got here in the Android world. And so for core device management, and this is just kind of a summary of what Intune supports today. Everything I'm going to talk about here is something that either you can do is supported today in Intune or is fairly imminent in terms of when it will be coming out. And so for core device management, Intune supports everything that is available today in the Android 4.0 MDM API. This allows for the core MDM capabilities that I talked about before. We really commonly get the question, hey guys, what on the Intune team, what devices do you guys support? And the answer is, we support any device that is based on Android 4.0 to the extent that that device is compliant with the Android 4.0 standard. So, you know, you can go get any random Android device from any OEM, and if it's compliant with that, we'll make a great effort to support it until we discover that it perhaps doesn't. And so this is how we kind of ensure consistency across all the different Android brands, especially in a BYOD program that your users may show up with and use. The one exception to that is Samsung Knox, of course. We have a number of different OEM extensions specifically for Samsung Knox because it is a very widely used platform and we had very many customer requests for it. And so they have additional OEM APIs for additional user experience improvements around certificate and application installation. They have APIs that make that seamless. Device-wide settings to do things like turning off the Play Store or turning off the browser, for example. Samsung is one of the devices that has email profile support kind of baked directly into the native email application there. So that's a reason that we can configure an email application on Samsung, but not others. And a couple other things that are unique, such as kiosk mode support and the ability to strictly enforce an application allow or deny list. Other areas of Android manageability that Intune has today are the MAM policies that we have for data protection. So in all the demos that you've seen, perhaps at Brad's presentation the other day or in others, you've seen a lot of it happen on iOS, and all of that same stuff applies equally to Android. This is our time to talk about that on the Android side. This is data protection built directly into the applications, and you can use it again with device management if you have a need for it or without. Intune offers a number of companion applications as well that are very often needed for in common use. So for example, a managed browser. So a browser that you can use that is totally managed by Intune and an RMS viewer for doing things like viewing images, PDF, and other content viewing. So these are supporting applications that your users are gonna need to be productive. And all of these come straight from the Intune team, fully integrated with Intune mobile application management policies. So you can secure them in exactly the same way you do the other applications. And another thing that we recently announced is something that's actually very cool is risk-based threat protection from Lookout. So Lookout is a partner whose core competency is kind of measuring and assessing device risk based on a number of different factors: file system, network stack configuration, device characteristics, application telemetry. And these guys are really uniquely positioned to assess device risk. And so we provide you controls in the Intune consoles to be able to say how much risk, based on the Lookout evaluation, are you willing to accept before you, as IT, decide that those devices go non-compliant and are no longer available to connect. So basic description of kind of what's available here. So I'm going to flip over to the console right now, and we're just going to go on a really quick tour kind of what we have today. So let's wait till that come up. Okay, so here we go. So this is the Intune console that some of you have probably seen. And this is just going to be a really basic overview, but basically let's start here under policy. So everything that we have here for Android today and all the other platforms here starts kind of in the policy section. And you can see the root nodes here for basically all the major platforms that Intune supports. If we expand to Android, you can kind of see the things that we support here. So there's an email profile, like I said, that you can use on Samsung Knox to configure the email application to connect to the Exchange server. I'll get to general configuration in a second. There's a couple different certificate options for publishing certificates to your devices for doing user authentication. Here's a SCEP certificate profile. So if you've got an NDES infrastructure that issues user certificates, you can deploy those profiles to devices so that they'll pull them down from that server. MSIT for ourselves uses that for our authentication. VPN can be configured. And so the way that VPN works is that there's no real usable VPN client baked into base Android. And so there's a number of different VPN providers that Intune has direct integration with. And that's the ones that are listed here. And so you can configure any of these if these are the ones that you use in your organization. So what happens on the device is that once you deploy this profile to the user, they'll be prompted to say, hey, end user, your IT professional is trying to configure a VPN for you. They'll guide you to the Play Store where you'll download one of these applications from one of these vendors. And once that application is installed, then Intune kind of jams the configuration into it. And that's how the VPN profiles work. Let's go back. And Wi-Fi profiles is just basically configuring the wireless networks. So let's take a look at general configuration. So this is the page that kind of explains all the basic MDM kinds of things you can do on Android devices. The first section is all about passwords and passcodes. And some of these things are specific to Knox. For example, they've got an API to allow or disallow fingerprint unlock, password quality, password expiration, minutes of activity before the screen turns off. These are the kinds of basic things that you want to do. Going further down, there's a section around encryption. And so you can enforce encryption at the device level. Basically, what this does is this sets a policy at the device that tells the user that they have to go turn on whatever level of device encryption that device happens to support. And then Samsung Knox devices also have an option to allow you to enforce encryption on storage cards as well. Beyond this, these options are mainly limited to Samsung Knox devices, and so they've got an option to turn off screen capture across the entire device, an option to prevent factory reset, Google backups, some interesting things around the browser control. And then there's a kiosk mode at the bottom here that allows you to, for example, take a Samsung Android device and lock it into a single task device. So if you have an application that you want users in factories or drivers and trucks to use, you can lock that application, prevent users from getting into settings, and that's the only app that they're going to be able to use. And you can still continue to manage that device, and it's tailor-made for a particular task. Under here, under compliance policies, is where you define what compliance means to you as an IT pro. So in this particular interface, all of the devices' platforms are kind of listed here. And so this is how you decide what level of risk and configuration you're requiring your users to have in your enterprise before they will be quarantined or shut off from email access or prevented from launching corporate activities inside of managed applications. So for example, you can say, as an IT admin, you want to make sure that your users have an alphanumeric password setup. It's got to be at least 7 characters. For example, they have to have encryption. The device must not be rooted. Intune does root detection on devices. And if any of those things happen to be true, then the device is deemed to be not compliant based on the criteria that you've defined. And the user is either blocked from their email, and then they're further guided through a process to help them remediate themselves as well. So for each non-compliance reason that we have, the user is shown steps to help get them compliant again, because again, the goal is to provide secure access, not necessarily to block them. There's also a few things we've added specifically just for Android here as well. So these were things that were added in response to specific customer requests. Android has an option, for example, to do USB debugging, which is very powerful from a developer's perspective, but it's also can be rather threatening because you have a lot of power when you connect that device to USB, so you can enforce that is off. It has, since Android 6.0, and Google has distributed monthly security patches to Android devices, and so using this, you can set a policy that says you're non-compliant unless you have at least the September 2016 or June 2016 update to your device. And then here is the option that we have for Lookout here. So this is the required device threat protection level. And so here is how you decide what level of threat assessment you are comfortable with on your device. This one is effectively saying, I'm not secure, I'm not happy with any level of threat. And so if any degree of risk is determined by the Lookout application, quarantine that device. And then the rest of these are available here. So that was just a really basic tour of what's available today in Android, just as an overview. For the benefit of those who don't question, I'll take one question. I'm going to try to save them to the end, but
sorry.
No worries.
But the classification.
Yes.
Are you able to go into details on those around the documented on what medium, low, and high means?
So the question was, so for the Lookout-based risk protection, there's options for low, medium, high, and none. Is there detail around what those mean? The answer is yes. The documentation for this, this just came out in our September release, and there's a full set of documentation. So between the Intune documentation and the Lookout documentation, you'll get a really good idea what those mean. I'm going to try to save questions to the end. I'll make sure to leave some time. I just have a lot to get through. And so the next thing we'll talk about is Android for Work. And so how many people here have heard of Android for Work? Okay, most people. How many people use it today in their MDM service? Okay, maybe one. How many people feel like they're familiar with it? Like they know what it is, what it means, where it comes from, what the goals are? Okay, so slightly more. Okay, great. So when I talk about Android for Work in a general sense, I usually like to start with some of the common Android pain points that exist in the world today. And this it kind of helps to level set on the things that the Android for Work program really tries to fix. And so the one thing that we hear a lot is Android is missing some key features, especially with respect to iOS, around per-app VPN, around the ability to push applications in a reliable kind of way to a device, configurable email client, per-app VPN, as I said. Secondly, Android security in general is fundamentally lacking. If you deploy line of business applications to Android devices today, you know that you have to send your users into the control panel and turn on this option for allowing installation from unknown sources. And that pops up a bunch of security warnings in the device that scare users, and it does in fact open the device up for some kind of threats. And so there's a lot of feedback around that. And the last one is kind of one that we touched on before. Fragmentation affects manageability and user experience. I've got one Android device that I can't manage the same way as another Android device. Users come to me with one Android device that has a completely different user experience on the device than the other one. And it creates a very large matrix of support for IT organizations, and there's too many prompts. And another one that you know didn't make it onto the slide, but what we're starting to hear all the time, and even internally, most of Microsoft runs Intune on their phones. It's Microsoft IT department uses Intune to provide secure access to its own corporate resources, and I use it myself. And what we're hearing from some of our end users, as well as from some customers, is that I want to get email on my phone, and I want to do the right thing and have secure access to my corporate resources, but I'm very uncomfortable granting IT departments the rights to wipe my phone, or I don't want to enforce entirely device encryption. And so what are some ways that we can make sure that I can get access but not grant IT rights to see my apps, to wipe my phone, and those kinds of things? And so these are all kinds of things that Android for Work and other Intune solutions are kind of working to kind of bridge the gap on. Any of these look familiar? if you work with Android today, you probably see lots of these prompts. These are my nightmare when I sleep. I see these on the inside of my eyelids. And so this slide kind of describes in a very general sense what the Android for Work program coming from Google is. And it really consists of these four major pillars here. So the first thing that's a big development is that starting in Android and newer versions of Android, they've really enhanced their on-device management capabilities. And so before I talked about the fact that a lot of the MDM APIs, they didn't have much there, and the most of the other kind of functions were in different parts of the SDK. They've enhanced and brought over a lot of those into the device management API so that agents can call them. And so what you get here is the ability, for example, to do certificates without a prompt and a number of different interesting controls. Another thing that's brand new is this notion of a work profile. And this is something that you'll hear about quite a bit with respect to Android for Work. A work profile is something that gets created on the device. It's part of the operating system. It's baked into modern versions of Android. And a work profile exists alongside the personal profile on the device. And it provides the IT the ability to manage just the work profile and not the personal profile. And I'm going to get into a lot more detail on that and show you what that looks like on the device in a second. The goal here, we hope, is that this reduces fragmentation. Because they've augmented what's there in the base APIs, it'll be much less necessary for OEMs to build additional stuff on top of it. And so you'll get into a situation now where we want to be, where you'll have an Android 6 or a 7.0 device, and it doesn't matter where it came from. It all kind of behaves the same, and there's just some great advancements there. We've seen in the past couple releases of the Android operating system that any improvements or additions to the MDM capabilities have been on top of the Android for Work framework, not on the legacy framework. And so from a mobile device management standpoint, if you need mobile device management, this is where all the new stuff is going to go. The current mechanism of managing Android devices will continue to exist into the foreseeable future, but Android for Work is likely where all the enhancements are going to show up. Another really interesting part about this is how application management works. And so if you're a personal Google user, you're well familiar with the Play Store. It's where you go to get all of your apps. So what Google's done is they've created a different section of the Play Store called Google Play for Work, and this is where all the enterprise applications go. And this is targeted at reducing the malware threat. Now, all application installations with Android for Work come from Google Play services. So that means there is no longer any unknown sources, because now the only source for apps is a very known source, and it's the Google Play Store. That has a lot of interesting implications for application publishing, and I'll talk about those later when I show the demo. But what it leads to is a very consistent application installation experience as well. And again, removes the need for users to turn on unknown sources, reducing a malware threat. Enterprise application configuration, there's a pipeline for that, which is part of the Android for Work service. And so if there is an application that is written to expose these enterprise configuration settings, Intune can use that Android for Work pipeline to configure those applications. A good example of that is the Chrome browser application. The Chrome browser app has been rewritten to expose enterprise configuration for doing things like predefined bookmarks, or a URL allow or deny list, or whether or not the user should be allowed to turn on incognito mode. So you could start to think about how powerful some of these settings can be for configuration once ISVs start building them in. Productivity apps are another thing that are coming from Google. And so, for example, email application. Google's Gmail Android app has been written to expose enterprise configuration as well. So now it's possible to push an enterprise configuration down to the Gmail application to configure that email profile. Calendar and contacts apps are being developed as well. And the last part is that it's a partnership community. We're happy to be working with Google as an EMM partner. We're listed on their website. But they also invite VPN providers, ISVs, and other OEMs into the partnership community. And it's really to ensure consistency across devices. And so when you use Intune with Android for Work, what are some things we can expect? I mentioned the enhanced device management settings, and I talked about the management of a work profile. And so the promise of a work profile is actually really compelling to those users who are very concerned about IT having too many rights on their device. The promise to the end users with a work profile is that, hey, end user, you can feel free to enroll your device in this MDM. The phone that existed, which is yours prior to even being enrolled, that continues to be yours and entirely under your control. IT can't push apps there, can't see what's there, and in fact, can't even wipe it. On the other hand, for IT, you're gonna carve out this piece of the device called a work profile, and on it, you're gonna be able to do more things on it than you ever have before. And so here's a screenshot of a device that's enrolled, an Android for Work device that's enrolled into Intune, and you can see that the applications that are badged here with the little briefcase icon signify that those are applications that are managed by IT. So when you open up those applications, they open up in a work context. And those are the applications that if you remove the device from management, those are all gonna go away. The other applications, Instagram, Pokemon, Facebook, the ones without the badge, those are my personal apps. IT literally can't touch them. Application management improvements are also quite significant. And so if you deploy apps now to an Android device, you're probably aware that there's a very different experience for application deployment depending on what kind of app it is you're installing and what mechanism of deployment you're installing. And so if you're deploying a line of business application or if you're deploying an application that lives in the Play Store, you know that the experience is very different. If you're deploying it as a required application / mandatory or pushing it, or you're making it available in the end user's app catalog to optionally install, again, that's a very different experience, and that's been very troublesome. I keep hitting that button. And so with Android for Work, all of that is unified. Now it doesn't really matter what kind of application it is. It's gonna have a unified installation experience. Anybody as a personal Android user ever go to the Play Store, like on a web browser, for example, and browse for applications there? And so you know there's an install button that you can click. And so if you've got a device registered through Google, it'll just start installing. That's effectively the kind of experience that's going to be afforded to IT and end users with this as well. So help understand. I talked a lot about the security improvements around no longer having to, or in fact being allowed to, turn on unknown sources when you're managed this way. And there's also mandatory device encryption. The act of enrolling a device in this mechanism will enforce device encryption. There's also the ability to configure applications, like I said, an email client configuration is a big one. And so we'll have initial support for configuring the Gmail and the 9Work email applications. And all of this is gonna start rolling out for general availability in our October service release. And there's a link to the blog post here that we had a couple weeks ago that announced it. So that's kind of a general overview of what, in general, Android for Work is and what's gonna be available in Intune. There are three major scenarios with Android for Work, and it's kind of important to understand which ones are in play here. And so the first one is a BYOD scenario, and this is the one that Intune is going after first, which will be available starting in October. This is the one where employees enroll their devices and they get a work profile, and it's designed to be for end users' devices. They have a piece of the device that's managed by IT and the piece of the device that isn't. The next two are variations of corporate-owned scenarios, where the device is owned by the corporation and the enterprise enrolls that device and they have more administrative rights on that entire device than they do in the work profile setting. So it's a different mode of management. And the last one is a kiosk setting, and Google refers to this as COSU, corporate-owned single use. Android for Work has a number of rich APIs kind of there available to manage devices that are used, for example, like at host or hostess stands in restaurants or in trucks, locked down to specific applications with application deployment and manageability on there. And so the kiosk COSU one is kind of something that we're going to start looking at in our first follow-on release because we feel like there's a lot of application there. So we'll look at addressing these in the future, but the BYOD one is there initially. So very important to understand when thinking about Android for Work. My engineers see this slide with these arrows, and they kind of have a fit because it's a gross oversimplification, but it's actually rather accurately describes what goes on here. And so the way that it works is that you continue to install the company portal application on the Android device. That's your MDM agent. And it continues to do things on the left-hand side of this left-hand side here, like, you know, getting reporting and status, policy settings, those kinds of things continue to be enforced. What's different is the way application installations work. Application installations are communicated from the Intune cloud over to Google Play for Work, and then Google Play for Work interacts with the trusted Google Play services portion on modern Android devices to ensure that the application installation actually happens. Because of this, IT must onboard the Intune tenant prior to enrollment, so there's a step that you have to do in order to get things working. And if anybody is familiar with the way that Android for Work was in the past, there's two different account types that Google supports with Android for Work. The one of them used to require that there be a full Google domain provisioned in your organization, that you synchronize identities into the Google directory. That's no longer a requirement, and I'll show you how easy that onboarding actually is. And so let's take a look at all of this stuff. So I'll probably have to re-authenticate. So I'm in the Intune console here. And what you're going to see here, firstly, is a new node here for Android for Work. And so I mentioned that there's a provisioning step that IT has to take, and this is what happens here. So the first thing is you would click Configure. And so after some processing, this will open up a new tab in the browser, and the rest of the kind of sign-up process kind of works at Google's websites. And so you'll notice here this is a Google site. You'll click Sign In. Excuse me one second. And so what you're going to do here is you're going to sign in with a Google account. So this Google account is going to be your Google admin account that you're going to use across everything that you do. So you probably don't want to use your personal Google account. You should probably create a new one just for an administrative account. So I'll sign in here with the account that I want to use. Okay, so now I'm signed in with this account, and let's get started. There's an opportunity here to enter an organization name. I'll just type that. It's already pre-populated with Microsoft Intune, which is correct. Of course, we've all read the agreement, so we'll check that. And we'll hit confirm. You now need to return to your EMM provider, complete registration. So now we're back in the Intune console. And that's effectively it. That's what you need to do for onboarding. And so once this returns, you'll see everything turns green and is enabled. So there's a couple different things you'll see on this screen here. First, here's some status here, ready for enrollment. Some details around, you know, the organization that you typed in when you onboarded, and a reminder of what your administrative account is going to be. This is around the application sync that happens. I'll show you that in a second. And here's enrollment settings down here. So these settings allow you to control when devices get enrolled as Android for Work or not in your organization. So any device, for example, that supports Android for Work management also supports the current mechanism of Android management as well. And so we felt it important to give IT a choice around when you wanted to start enrolling devices as Android for Work and to be able to create pilot groups as well to start testing out the features. This option effectively here means everything is off. There's no Android for Work support. This means anybody who enrolls a device that supports Android for Work will go down that path. And this option here allows you to set up, for example, like power users, pilot group, anybody in this group who has a device that supports Android for Work, that's the path you'll go down. We'll just turn everything on right now, and we'll save it. And so Android for Work is effectively like a brand new device platform that we have in the system. So when we go to configuration profiles, if you were observant earlier, you probably noticed that there was a brand new Android for Work node here. And so there's a whole different set of things that are possible to do on an Android for Work device that weren't possible before. And so it made sense to kind of fork these and send them and have them created here. You'll notice here there's an email profile for Gmail, email profile for the 9 Work application. There's a couple new things in general configuration as well. So for example, when you're managing a work profile, you have some options you can set on the work profile boundary. So you can control whether or not applications can share data across from the work profile to the personal profile. You can control whether or not notifications raised from apps in the work profile should be visible when the lock screen is on or not for an additional security. And since Android 6.0, they've also had this notion of runtime permissions. So as an app developer, these are permissions that you have to prompt the user for at runtime, right? And so if you're managing an application and you're pushing an application into a user's work profile, you probably want to have fine-grained control over, I don't want my user to deny permissions that I know they need. And so what you can do is if you're pushing, for example, Skype or Skype for Business into their work profile, that's going to be a work application, you should probably auto-grant them like microphone permission, contacts permissions, those kinds of things. So you get really good fine-grained control over how those permissions work. So what about applications? The way that applications work is that they're all listed here under volume purchase. So I've got nothing here. So what happens when we want to deploy an application? The place for that is over here at Play for Work. playgoogle.com/work. So when you go to play.google.com/work and you sign in with the same admin account that you use when you establish the connection to the tenant, this is your enterprise app store. So if you're going to publish a public app to your organization, you do it like this. For example, let's find Excel. There we go. And so there should be a button here for approve. Here we go, okay. So Microsoft Excel. So instead of install that you see if you're a personal user, you'll see an approve button here. And so what you're doing here is you're approving this application for management in your organization. And the key thing here is kind of nested here in this text. Because you as IT are able to just push these applications directly into the user's work profiles, what you're doing is you're accepting all the permissions that the application requires on behalf of your organization. So you'll hit approve. And let's do another one. And we'll approve it. Please wait. Congratulations, thank you very much. So now we go to my company apps, and so these are the apps that you've approved. So what now? We go back to the Intune console, and if you remember on this tab here, there was a section here for Play for Work sync. Now there's a timed sync. This does happen periodically. It matches what we did for iOS, so this will happen, but for the purposes of making it happen instantly, we'll click the Sync Now button. So this reaches out to the Play for Work store and retrieves those applications that we've just approved. Now you'll see that they appear here. So once they're here, you can continue to manage them just as you would any other application that you would have published through Intune. So you'll go here to manage deployment, target your user groups, and then application installation here. Right now, this is our preview version right now. We support only mandatory applications, but by the time GA rolls around, we'll support available applications as well. And so once that happens, that will just go straight to the device. So that's how that works. Another question that often gets asked is, what about line of business applications? So I said before, all applications come from Google Play services. What about LOBs? So the way that works is that you actually use the same publishing console that you would use if you were a general purpose Android app developer. You publish that application through the Android publishing console. You tick a box that says, this application is available only for my enterprise. assuming you've signed in with that same account. And then that will then be synchronized directly into the Intune console to be available to deploy the same way any other free public app would. I thought I would show that, but that's not, maybe I'll show that later. So that's how that works. All right, let's go back. So Android for Work, so we typically get the question, like, how does Android for Work work with Intune mobile application management policies? And you know, it's true that Android for Work offers some data protection features on the boundary of the work profile. Copy-paste restrictions from a personal side of the device to the work profile, a redaction of notifications that I mentioned, managed configuration, the ability to wipe all the applications in the profile. And so if those are suit your needs, then that's what you should use. Intune MAM policies can then be layered on top of any Android for Work platform stuff for more BYOD flexibility and more comprehensive data protection. And so with Intune MAM policies, you can use them with or without enrollment. It's the same interface for IT pros. You can use the Office applications, which have a corporate and a personal context. The Intune MAM policies manage that. It preserves the Office user experience and additionally controls cloud saving of data. And so when you push an application into the work profile or the personal profile, that saves data to the cloud, you can control what locations are trusted and which ones aren't. And so they're complementary technologies that are best used together. So hopefully that's a good explanation there. I talked a little about the application management process here. And here's how application deployment works. So in the initial release, we'll have support for applications that are in the public store that are free. And that's the Excel and the Outlook example that I showed you a second ago. The apps that are, you go in there and you hit approve and they just appear. For private line of business applications, like I said, you need to sign up as a Google developer to do that. You need to publish them through the Android publishing console, tick a box that says it's just for my organization, and then they appear and get deployed the same way. In our roadmap is going to be support for the public paid applications. So there's not a ton of them out there today for enterprise use, but there will be applications that you need to purchase licenses for your organization. And so we'll provide some aspect of license tracking and management and notification there. And then there's another thing supported by the framework called self-hosted line of businesses. This is for customers who are perhaps very sensitive and don't want to publish their private bits into the Google Play Store. And so there's a provision for that as well. And so those are going to be roadmap items. And so I showed you app deployment, but what I'll actually show you now is what the enrollment process looks like. So I've got my Android device here, and it's an Android 7.0 device, and I've got the company portal. And so I'll show you what the kind of work profile process looks like. So I'll click sign in. And I'm going to go to the keyboard because it's a very long account. Please, nobody look at my password. So I'm signing in as an end user here. And so what you're going to see is that you're going to have the same familiar Intune company portal experience that you had before, where it kind of guides you through the steps that you need. But one of the new steps is that you need to create a work profile first. And so we'll hit begin. It explains around, you know, some reasons around why you would create a work profile. Continue. Some listing of, you know, what IT can and cannot do on your device. And then a description of kind of what comes next. And so now this is a device-based flow. This is a flow that comes directly from the operating system. The company portal is handed off to the kind of Android system, and you're going to go through this flow to create a work profile. There's a message here from the OS explaining what the capabilities are. And you're going to set up this work profile now. All right, so this is where we were in the company portal in the personal side of the device. Now there's a cutover point where we're going to flip over to the managed side of the device as well. Right now, there's a bug that causes you to have to authenticate twice. That will be fixed, but I'll go ahead and do that now. So now we're signing in. So we've established a work profile. And the way that that's signified here is with this little briefcase icon here. You're going to start to see that icon a lot. So the operating system makes you aware of when you're in a corporate context by putting that icon up there. And so now that we've created the work profile on the device, now we can complete the Intune enrollment. Device is enrolled. And so once this device enrolls, what you're going to see is a bunch of applications to start to come down. So these are free public applications that I've published to the device. I think I did Excel, and I think maybe Gmail. And you can see that these are apps that just kind of get downloaded and installed directly into the work profile. The user doesn't have to do anything. So it's rather seamless in that respect. If the Wi-Fi would cooperate. All right, so you see we've got a couple application downloads happening here. Okay, we're completely correct, and we're done. And we're done. And so let's go back to the home screen. And so you'll see some things here. So I've got a line of business application that has been installed. Gmail has been installed. And now Microsoft Excel is being downloaded. And see the little icon here, the little work icon signifies those are going directly into my work profile. So these are apps that I've deployed to my users. And you can see that they appear here. So that's what the enrollment process actually looks like. Now, what's interesting is when you unenroll a device, let's go back to the company portal here, so all these applications are there. Let's remove a device. And when you unenroll a device, the entire work profile and everything inside of it goes away kind of in one unit. So any settings that are applied in the context of the work profile, any applications put there, any certificates like that, that goes away. So we'll tap the trash can icon, remove this device, hit OK. So we communicate with the service very briefly, and then you'll see that basically all the applications that were installed are gone, and you'll see a notification that says, work profile deleted, and the apps are gone. So at no time did IT have any rights to do anything in the personal side of the device, and nothing got affected there. So that's kind of a brief tour of Android for Work. So Man Without Enrollment is another additional option that we have that can be used in a number of different scenarios. And so some of our goals here were that we wanted to make sure that we provide a familiar Office experience on any Office application. And when the Office application is used in conjunction with corporate identities and you're working with corporate data, we tried to make the experience as seamless as possible. The user, when they're in the app doing personal things, should be completely unaffected by policy. And the user, when they're doing corporate things, will be guided to do the right thing by being prevented from copy-pasting or sharing or doing things with that data or saving to personal cloud locations. So this is a really great option for BYOD, for example. If you want to just protect applications and you want to protect corporate data, for example, but you don't need or want to require that the full device be enrolled, you don't need to manage the entire device, you can manage just the applications. And so here's kind of an illustrative example of that. This device is completely unenrolled. You've got a number of applications that are there. You've got some Office applications, line of business applications, one of the companion applications, and they all can share with each other because they're all managed by these policies. This also works with MDM coexistence. So if you have an existing MDM provider, for example, and you use it for doing your device management, but you additionally want to provide management of the Office applications through this multi-identity framework or any of your line of business applications, you can use that MDM service to publish those applications and manage the device, but the Office applications managed through Intune policy. And so what kinds of policies are available for this? We've got a number of policies to enforce corporate data access requirements around requiring a PIN to launch the application, requiring the user to fully authenticate if that's something you want to do to your users before launching the application, and also device health. So you can prevent, for example, an application from being launched if the device is rooted or compromised or not compliant with your policies in some way. There's also a number of data leakage protections available. So for example, the ability to block copy-paste from leaving any kind of corporate environment, screen capture, saving of the file to unauthorized locations, and sharing of data between applications. And so one of the core examples here is if you're working, for example, in the Word application, and you're working with an Office 365 account, and you have some data going there, and you hit the Save As button in the Word app, will prevent you from saving to Dropbox or personal OneDrive. You can only save to your corporate OneDrive in order to keep that data secure. The Android part of this implements some encryption of the data at rest. So anytime a file gets written to the local file system on the Android device, if it's protected by the Android, you know, operating system segmentation, but it's additionally encrypted so that only managed applications can read that data. So that means if you write something, for example, to the SD card, it will only then be readable by other applications inside of this managed ecosystem. And then app-level selective wipe. So you can issue a wipe command, and just the corporate identities inside of those applications will be wiped, leaving the personal ones there. Again, entirely without device management if necessary. We have an expanding application ecosystem, and it's all listed on the website here. We have a number of different partners that we're working with to directly integrate into application management policies. And so these applications will be natively enabled to work with these. And so here's the roadmap for applications that support the without enrollment scenarios. So every time I look at the slide, more and more stuff is moving to the left, and that's really great. So what's available now is what you see here. Coming soon is Delve and Acrobat Reader. And then it's coming later is in our roadmap that we're working very closely with these teams for to get working here. So you have all these applications available right now to receive application management policies. And so let's take a look at what that looks like. So the MEM without enrollment policies are done in the, let me close this and open a new one, are done in the Azure portal. And so if you saw Brad talk, he talked about the fact that Intune is moving away from Silverlight, which is great, and eventually everything's gonna be moved over to the Azure portal. And so this was kind of our first thing in Intune that we did in the Azure portal, so that's why that's there, and everything else is still in Silverlight for now. So let's go here, portal.azure.com. And we'll sign in there. And so when this loads up, we'll tap on the Intune icon here. And this is where we define all of our policies for mobile application management. And so we look at app policy here, and we can see that we've created a pin policy here. And so here's where you define these policies. Here's a place where you type in the general thing. So this policy requires a pin when you launch the application, prevents sharing, and also prevents copy-paste. I've got this policy targeted to a particular group of users, and so now this user, whenever they sign in, doesn't matter if their device is enrolled or not, that application will recognize their corporate identity and will protect it. And now I select the applications here. So I'm gonna say I wanna protect Outlook, Word, and OneDrive, and then this will be augmented with all of the applications that we saw on that previous slide, so you can apply those policies there. Later I'll show you how you add your own applications to this list as well. And then we go to policy settings, and we have a number of different controls here that I mentioned. So there's options here to prevent Android backup, to allow application to transfer to other applications, the ability to prevent save as, restricting copy-paste, whether or not web content opened inside a managed application should be managed in the also managed Intune browser or not, and require PIN, number of different things here. Block from jailbroken or rooted devices, and so that's that. And so once I create this policy and target it to an application, we can see kind of what the experience is here. So this device, you remember at the end, I had this device enrolled into Android for work, and then I unenrolled it. In fact, I'll remove the company portal just to make it, just to be sure. So this device is unenrolled, and I've got the Outlook application here. And so we'll get started. So I'm a brand new employee at your company. I've just got my email account, you know, details given to me. So the first thing I want to do is I want to get corporate email on my phone. So I'll type in my account here. Come on, Wi-Fi. There we go. So now it recognizes it's a corporate account and asks me to authenticate here. I misspelled that. There we go. And then sign in. And so because the user that I signed into is one of the users that was targeted here in this section here in user groups, it's going to ask me to do some things to make sure that data is secure. So the first thing it's going to do is it's going to ask me to download and install the company portal application. All right, so it says, before you can use this work account with this app, you must install the free Intune Company Portal app. So this is something that's unique to Android. So the Company Portal app needs to be downloaded by the users and installed, but it never has to be used in this case. And basically, the reason it's there is because that Company Portal app contains the majority of the code that we have running that protects these applications. Also, it allows us to deliver fixes and improvements through the Company Portal application without each individual application having to update. So this is a one-time thing. The first time a user does this, they have to download and install the Company Portal app. So we'll go to store, install it. Okay, now it's installed. So the next time I go back to Outlook, once that Company Portal is installed, we should see that it's protected with policy. So your organization protects data in this application. That's what your users will see. Okay? And there we have to set a PIN. Now we're in. And so now, additionally, when we hit share, for example, let's see here. When we copy paste this stuff, you won't be able to paste this information into a non-managed application. It's not working. Ah. Has it been black the whole time for you guys? Just right now, yeah, okay. Hey, that's security, right? So I must have set this screen sharing protection, which prevents the application from actually demoing in the way that it needed it to. I apologize. yeah. Cool. So the last thing I'm going to talk about is how you get your applications working in that ecosystem as well. So when I pulled up that console before and I showed you the different applications you can target those policies to, those were all the applications that came from Microsoft that we've kind of pre-configured in the console. But if you have your own application that you are developing in your corporate, you know, developers group, and you want to make it part of the same thing, how does that exactly work? And so this is all about enabling that. So there's a number of different paths to protecting your applications. And the first one on the left-hand side is just the applications that come from Microsoft, which are natively integrated with the Intune SDK. There's also the Intune Companion apps that I talked about. That's the viewer applications and the managed browser. These are ones that come from Intune for doing kind of these supporting functions. The next two options are the ones I'm going to be talking about. And so there's the app wrapping tool, which you'll use if you have an application, perhaps no access to the source code, and you can just run it through this tool, which will enable application management on that. And then there's an SDK. And the SDK is there for an application developer if you have access to the source code and you want to perhaps provide a better experience around how you control how copy-paste is blocked for the user, perhaps provide them with a message or different UI when the application has policy enforced. You have full hooks into that in order to have that control as an application developer. And there's also Xamarin and Cordova framework support as well. So if you write applications for those frameworks, we have plugins that allow you to fit that in as well. And so sometimes we get the question, when would you wrap an application versus when would you use the SDK? And there's a couple different considerations. So the wrapper supports only single identity applications. And what that means is the entire application is managed. It doesn't really matter if you're using a personal credentials or corporate credentials in that application. Multi-identity is the behavior that you see inside of Office applications where you have a personal kind of persona inside that application, and then you flip over to a work corporate persona. The SDK allows you to, as a developer, to allow that kind of control, to enforce policies when it's corporate and not enforce policies when it's personal. There's also user experience considerations that I mentioned. So the SDK exposes granular policy information, so you can control the UI around how those policies are enforced to provide a great experience for your users, and that's what the Office team has done. The other one, this may be fairly obvious, but the SDK is really not a good option if you don't have access to the source code for whatever reason. The wrapper just needs the APK for the application. You run it through a tool, but obviously to integrate the SDK, you need to load it up in an IDE and get it working that way. And ease of use, you know, the wrapper is very easy. I'm going to show you a demo in a second of how that works. And the SDK is It's a developer project. Although it's fairly easy, it requires some additional knowledge there in the development side of things. The Intune App SDK is available at these websites here. Right now, there's a preview out available of the SDK for MAM without enrollment. Right now, it's there for MAM with enrollment. That should be coming soon. And once the MAM without enrollment update comes out, you'll have to rebuild for the new SDK, and you may need code changes as well in your application if you've already built that in. And the app wrapping tool, right now it's available on Download Center, but it's moving to GitHub rather soon. Our preview is there. And the MAM without enrollment support is what's in preview, and I'll show you an example of that. And that's coming in just a few weeks. So now I'll show you the Android app wrapper. So I'm going to show you something here that looks really sloppy, but I'll show it to you anyway. So I've got this application up here, this guy here on the top left, the MAM MDM test app. So this is a really ugly looking application. This is actually something our team uses internally to kind of test out this stuff. And so it has a bunch of different things here around, like, you know, copy paste protections, wrapper versions, you know, all the different sharing options that your application may have. We use that to replicate that in our testing. But we can see here in this application, I can copy this data and then go paste it, for example, into the Chrome, which is not managed. And that happens to work just fine. So this application is not managed on this device in any way right now. So how do we get it managed? We do this. So here I have PowerShell console, and I've downloaded and installed the wrapper version, the preview wrapper for MAM without enrollment that's there. So here I've got my APK. So this is the APK that corresponds to the application that I just ran, and I've got a PowerShell module here as well. So I'll show you the steps. Import module. Import that, and then I've got this pre-prepped, but we're going to run this tool. And I'll explain what these things mean. Invoke app wrapping tool. So the input path is going to be the non-wrapped APK. The output path is something, they're going to be the wrapped APK. And then I have to give a reference to a key store, because Android requires that applications be signed prior to them being installed onto devices. So I'll run that. Enter some passwords for the key stores. And eventually what's going to come out is a wrapped app. So I'll go back here and I'll uninstall this wrap application here. So uninstall the one I just showed you. Do I want to uninstall? Yes, I do. So this takes a little bit of time. Once it's done, it's going to spit out that file, wrapped lob app.apk, and it's also going to show me what the package name of that file is. All right, here we go. So here we go. I'm going to copy this here. So it tells us the package name for this app is com.microsoft.mdm.testapp1. Okay, so we'll copy that. And now we see here that we have a output app right here. Great. So let me go back to this console here. So this, again, is the console where you define management policies for applications in the non-enrolled world. And so we've got, as I said, this list of applications here where a Microsoft partner or, you know, partner team finishes that application up with our integration. We add it to this console, but what if you've got your own? Let's show what that looks like. So go back here to the main page. And under here, you see line of business apps. And here's where you add your own apps to that list. So now we'll add custom. And we'll give it a name. And we'll paste in that identifier that we just got out of the wrapping tool. And we'll hit create. And so we'll put that there. And so now, because the application has the wrapper and has the Intune kind of management layer there, it knows that when it runs, it's got to contact the Intune service and say, hey, do you have any policy for me as this application? And this is what allows the service to say, when this application calls, send that policy down. So now we'll go to app policy, and we'll take the policy we looked at before, and we'll look at targeted apps. And you'll see that this now appears. And we'll just check that. That's the one we just added. And we'll save it. All right, what is happening here? All right, I'm going to try to create a brand new policy then. All right, so we'll go here. You're getting a bonus demo of me creating a brand new policy. We've got the line of business app that's still there, and we'll go to app policy, and we'll add a policy. We'll just call it that. It's going to be for Android, and we're going to select the required applications. This guy, and this guy. And we'll set the settings here. So prevent backups, prevent save as, require a PIN. These look good, the default settings. Create. And now we'll deploy it to this group of users. So I've got my end users. The IW group here, which I'll select. So my end user is in that group. And we've got this set. And we've got this set. And we should be good. So now, let me make sure everything's saved. It's deployed, it's Android, there's three apps in there. And so now what we can do is we can install that application to the device. I've got another command for that. So I'm using Android tools here right now to just install this application directly to the device because I don't have any other way to do it. But it doesn't matter how this application gets to the device. If you happen to be using this in the MDM coexistence world, you can use that application deployment mechanism to get it there. You could deploy it through an enterprise, your own internal enterprise store, or anyway. I'll just use this tool right now. Success. So now when I go back here, I've got this application reinstalled here. So this is it, and I'll run it. And so the first thing it does is now it recognizes that it's corporate. So before, it was fully enabled for everything. Now I've wrapped it, I've associated it in this console, and now I'm running it, and now it recognizes that it needs to be protected by these policies. All right. So that was kind of a tour of everything we have going on in the Android space right now. There's a bunch of other sessions that are happening here. My colleague, Ale, is doing a similar session to this, all about iOS, later this afternoon. Definitely recommend that. I think it's in the same room. And I think we've got some time for some questions. Is there microphones for the questions, or should I just repeat the question? I'll just repeat the question for you.
How does this work in a hybrid environment?
So the question is, how does this work in a hybrid environment with SCCM? And so the initial release is going to be cloud only on the Silver Lake console, and then we're going to move to the new console when that's ready. We're planning when the hybrid stuff is going to come. So there's always like a little bit of a time lag between when it's available in cloud and when it's going to be available in hybrid. It's going to be next year sometime. I don't have a specific date. Sir in the back? Could you use the microphone? I'm sorry. Thanks.
Yeah. How do you restrict just corporate devices being registered into Intune? Because what we've seen in the past is once you've enabled a user to be registered, they could register personal devices as well.
Right. So the question is, you said it, I don't need to repeat it. There's a couple different options that are coming in. There's a couple different things that are coming in Intune around that. And so, for example, there's one way that we're going to provide to do that is for you to preload a list of like device IDs, for example, into the Intune console. and then only those will be allowed to enroll, so you would know which devices, the IDs, the serial numbers or IMEI numbers for your corporate devices. You would bulk upload those to the Intune console, and that would prevent that from happening.
Would that work with Android? Because we've seen some Androids don't publish their IMEI numbers.
Yeah, and the question is, will that work with Androids? Because we've seen some Androids don't publish their IMEI number, and so that's totally true. The way that this feature is going to work is that the user is going to have to, for example, like approve the permission to get the IMEI number in order for that to work. If they decide that they block it for some reason, then they'll be considered unenrollable. Yep. Yeah, good question. So when you apply a policy that requires a PIN for a corporate application, is it the same PIN across all managed applications? And then is it also shared so that you don't have to type it in each time for each app? The answer is yes to both of those. So the first time I get prompted for, the first time you type in a PIN, that applies to all the managed applications. And then there's also a setting on the screen in the policy thing for how long you want the PIN to last for. And so as long as that time period is valid, you won't get repinned again.
So along the same lines with the PIN.
Sure.
Is the data for Android for work, is it encrypted separately from the personal data, or is it all encrypted the same with the same device encryption?
So the question is about encryption with Android for work. So a couple different things. So Android for work requires that device encryption be turned on entirely at the time that enrollment happens. You didn't see it when I did the demo because I've already had it encrypted. But separately, Android for work is based on top of the Android kind of multi-user Linux-based framework. And so each user's kind of data space is separated architecturally from the personal side.
But it's still encrypted.
It is still encrypted, yes. Sorry.
It's encrypted the same. So it's got the same, is it use the device passcode to encrypt it, or does it use the PIN to encrypt it?
It depends. I think, so I'm not entirely sure what the answer is. I'll tell you what I do know. When you use the Intune MAM policies, it has its own encryption. So Intune is handling the encryption for those. How specifically the encryption works on the platform with Android for work with respect to the PIN and so forth, don't totally know the answer to that question.
Thank you.
Minimum requirements for Android for work. So that's a really good question. So I think I had up on the slide there that it needs Android 6.0 and above. When Android for work first came out, so Android for work is technically supported with the Android 5.0 Lollipop operating system and up, but it is not completely seamless across the board. We've seen many examples of 5.0 devices that, for example, don't support the work profile or don't kind of do the right thing there. It's starting with devices that ship with Android 6.0, where there's going to be really good consistency across there. So my recommendation is that you start with devices that ship with 6.0, and then going forward, you'll see that consistency. For any other device, though, one thing I didn't mention, though, and you reminded me, is that the existing mechanism of Android management is going to continue to be supported in Intune for the foreseeable future. So for all of the 4.0, 5.0 devices, or even the newer devices that you choose to manage in the old way, you still will totally have that option fully supported.
I have a question.
Yep.
For Android for work, especially for like Outlook profile management, can you configure the Outlook app to have the email profiles for the company?
So the question is, for the email profile stuff, can you configure the Outlook application? And so there's a couple different ways to kind of think about that. So the Outlook application doesn't yet expose any configuration settings to allow it to be configured through the Android for Work configuration pipeline. So you can't do it that way. But because the Outlook application uses modern authentication, where it's not actually connecting directly to an EAS server, it's all based on your Azure Active Directory identity. And so what you'll see with the Outlook app is, for example, when you enroll a device, you need to sign in, right, to do the enrollment. And because the enrollment mechanism through Intune shares authentication tokens with the authentication used by the Outlook application, the identities will be the same. The Outlook application will recognize the identity that you've enrolled with. And there's no need in the Outlook application to type in your EAS server or anything like that when you're working with Office 365. So I think the answer is you're going to be able to get what you want, just not in the way that you initially asked about doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the attachments for like Excel and PowerPoint. Is it the same way if I only want to open them in the managed applications?
Yeah, so the question was, what about attachments? So yes, so if you open, so for example, if you get an attachment in Outlook that's an Excel file, for example, and then you try to open it, if that Outlook is protected with policy, then it will only be able to open that attachment in other managed viewers that support the Excel format.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I have a question here.
Sure.
Right now there's a refresh rate timeout or time period, basically does it every certain hour. So is there a way to implement or there's a product enhancement coming where it will check it when the user opens the app, for the policy, like your password, whether your device is verified or not. Is there a way to do that like when the user opens the app or anything like that? Frequency than the what it is right now.
Gotcha. I'm going to be totally honest. I don't exactly know the answer to that right now. But if you want to give me your contact information, I can hook you up with the person who actually would be able to get that answer for you.
Okay, thank you.
I don't want to say something wrong when it comes to matters of security.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I know we can get an answer, though.
Does Intune offer a software report of all the apps on the device? We have corporate-owned devices, and we want to get a complete list of all the apps, including apps that have been shipped with the phone?
Yeah, so the question is, what does Intune do for application reporting? So for corporate-owned devices, it is possible to get a list of all the applications that are on that device, and that does include pre-installed applications as well, because you know we just ask the device, give me a list of all your installed applications, and it gives us back the entire list for corporate-owned devices. For BYO devices, it's only possible to get a report on whether or not the users have installed a managed application or not.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, so my question is around MAM without enrollment.
Yep.
You touched on how to publish line of business apps, at least in terms of the policy. What is kind of the recommended best practice for deploying an app to, say, a third party? So I'm providing a line of business app to a partner, but I don't have access to their MDM. It's not something I'm publishing through Google Play Store. How do I get that managed app to their device?
So the question is, so it sounds like basically you want to get an app to a device, but you don't want to put it in the Play Store, and there's no access to an MDM, for example, to do that, right?
Right. Is there something through like a, Azure portal or something that's coming that's going to be kind of a way to, basically app distribution for
non-enrolled devices.
For non-enrolled devices.
So that's a tricky thing. That's something that we're looking at on the Intune team right now, and I don't have details or timelines around any of that. It's a challenging thing because without being enrolled, there's kind of no way to get the app installed, and then you run into challenges around if you're going to sideload it, for example. You need to turn on some of those options to allow unknown sources. I think those are going to be kind of the options right now. So Microsoft does this. So we provide, for example, like the company portal application in the Play Store, and that's kind of where we want people to get it. But there's also people who don't have access to the Play Store, and so we provide the company portal on the download center, for example. But it's not really a great experience for them because they need to download it. It downloads just like a regular file. They need to know to turn on the option to kind of install it that way. I don't know about a great answer for that particular problem right now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else? If you think of anything else, so my name is Chris Baldwin. My email is chris.baldwin@microsoft.com. Really easy to remember. So you can always send me an email. I'll be at the booth later this afternoon and probably all day tomorrow. So totally happy to hear questions or feedback if you guys think about something when you're on your way out. One question, yep.
Are you thinking of supporting Intune for Skype for Business on-premises implementation?
So the question is, Intune Skype for Business on-premise. There are a number of issues around on-premise right now. It's definitely something that's on our roadmap. I think Paul Mayfield mentioned yesterday that it was going to be sometime next year. I don't remember the exact date, but we know that it's important. Not currently supported. Okay, thanks very much. I really appreciate it.